It's not every day you get to see Mr. Audrey. People said, so you, Mr. Audrey. I just want to say hello to anybody watching live stream. We are so glad that you've chosen to join us tonight, and we just pray a blessing. May you be blessed and receive a portion from the Lord tonight. I'm going to give just a, just go and share something, honey.
Oh. Well, we're glad it's not dead stream. So that's good. Life, everything that you need from God. It's good tonight. Thank you, Father. We thank you for letting us come here and letting us minister to you and letting Shauna, myself. It's been a blessing. We like coming here every year. This is like an annual thing. I think we were here in 924 something last year, so we're a little overdue. But we really appreciate that in the women's conference. But, you know, just I just, you know, feel like that, that if you just come like you have, receiving, asking God, what do you have for me to do? What do you have for me? And I just see that here. There's a hunger here. And this church will grow.
It's growing.
We've seen it's grown since last year. It's growing, and what a great teacher. But we just thank y'all for opening your heart and just being hungry for the things of God. It's not always you see a camouflage lady preaching, you know.
I'm ready for war, baby.
and you know, I'm casual, Harley Davidson, I'm sorry. But, you know, you don't always see that, but we just love people. And we just want to see people blessed and healed and set free in the name of Jesus. Thank you for coming.
And he spoke light and there was light.
Amen. You're sweet people.
Amen.
We love Georgia.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm surprised he didn't say anything about it. But I want to encourage everybody here to go vote, to go and vote in the next term election. This nation is in jeopardy. Our God-fearing nation is in jeopardy, and it's important that as men and women of God, we stand up to defend our religious liberty in prayer and in the voting booth. Voting for life, voting for righteousness, not voting for a party, but voting for candidates that uphold and that promote life at birth, promote religious liberty, that are ready to fight for our freedom and from this nation, and that will fight for our right to say what we want to say. So I want to encourage you. This midterm election are crucial, so important. So no excuse. You go and vote, and you go and vote for life and righteousness. Because you know what I love? You know, the Bible, it says, in the Bible, it actually says that when you see somebody doing something and you don't say anything or do anything, you are participating in their sin. And when we vote for people that promote killing our babies in the womb, we are participating in their sin. So what shall we choose? Life. Amen. Glory to God. It's so important. And I thank God for a pastor like Pastor Trey. You all are good people. You are people who love life. You wouldn't be here tonight. Amen? So God has been good. We saw a little bit, and I wasn't planning to do that, but God wanting to minister to a couple of people, a few people here tonight. You know, God doesn't have an agenda. And I found out very quickly that God and the Holy Spirit never get in a hurry. The moment you try, and you know, that's what I so appreciate about Pastor Trey and Pastor Shannon. They never come and tell me, oh, Audrey, you come here, but oh, you only have 40 minutes. I can, you know, God can do things in 30 minutes. But here is a principle that I've learned. And he can vouch for that because he is a minister. Is when you try to put the Holy Spirit in a box, you'll be okay. You want to put me in a box? I'll stay in the box, okay. We shouldn't, you know, but the moment there is a freedom. Because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a freedom. As moment when you said, okay, this is going to be it, the Holy Ghost is like, can't really move. But when there is a freedom, and Pastor Trey said, Audrey, just do what the Holy Ghost tells you to do. Just go and do it. When there is a freedom like that, the Holy Spirit, I mean, you see, we don't have to wait until the end. The Holy Spirit wanted to minister to people before. Because that's His heart, that's His desire. You know what I mean? So tonight I would like, in the little time that we have, I'd like to talk a little bit about the anointing. Because so many times, you know, people come in a meeting and they want prayer, or they need healing, or they need something from the Lord, from that anointing. Because the Bible said it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's the anointing that removes any kind of bondage. But so many times people don't really understand the anointing or how the Holy Spirit works and moves and wants to do certain things. And they come without really understanding what is happening. And they come back not really knowing how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You know, they'll come to have hands laid on, but then they really don't know what happened, what's going on, and they come back sitting in their chair and think, well, I didn't really get anything. Why? Because they really don't understand the anointing of God and how it works. And you know, I love to see that Jesus, you know, the Son of God, He did what He did here on earth. Acts 10:38 says that He went from place to place because He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, going around to do good and to heal just a few. No, all who were oppressed of the devil. I mean, that verse right there, it's a mouthful. You could preach on 1 week just on that one verse. But we discover here that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did what He did. Why? Because He was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. Not because He was the Son of God, but because He had that anointing in Him. You see, when He was 15 years old, 29 and a half, He was the Son of God, but never did any miracle, did He? Why? Because He had not yet been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the power of God. He was the Son of God, but it was the anointing, the power of God that He received in the River Jordan that allowed Him to go from place to place to heal all. It was that anointing. And you remember, glory to God, when He went, you know, He saw a great multitude. And I like that in Luke 4:40, He said that it was a great multitude and He laid His hand on everyone. You're talking about work. Apparently, why was it? Why did Jesus at that moment chose to lay hands on people? Why? Because He wanted to transfer an anointing. Or there were times in Luke 16, we read that people, when they heard about that anointing that was in Jesus, they seek to touch Him. And they pleaded that they could only touch Him, and anybody that touched Him was made whole. It was that anointing. And I love that it says in Isaiah, it is the anointing that breaks the yoke and heal any disease. But when people don't understand what is that anointing and don't really understand what's happening, what to expect, they oftentimes miss it, because so many times we think it's going to be a certain way. We expect a certain things and we just miss what Holy Spirit wants to do. And I love that there was a man of God, his name was John G. Lake. Anybody has heard about him? In the 1900s, he was called an apostle. Oh. Hallelujah. Is my microphone on? Double whammo. Glory to God. Echo. Thank you, honey. John G. Lake, he was an apostle in Africa when there was a bubonic plague. And there were thousands of people dying. And he was there praying for people. And doctors came and said, oh, we're so glad. So glad we have a vaccine for that thing. And John G. Lake said, vaccine? What vaccine? I mean, here is handling the people, touching the foam coming out of their mouth filled with a virus. And people said, this is so highly contagious. And John G. Lake said, I'm going to show you something. He took some of the foam, put it on his hand. And under the microscope, they saw that he was foaming with germs and killing bacteria. And they said, nah, on my hand, look at it. They put it on the microscope. On contact to his hand, the germs just died. And the doctor said, what is happening? He said, why? Because I understand that I am not subject to the law of sin and death, but in me is the law of life and of the Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. He had that revelation. He understood the anointing that was resident in me. That same anointing that was in a 12-year-old little girl that laid hands on his older sister, that saw her healed of cancer, and the ovary, puff, grew back. A 12-year-old, why? She 12 years old and she understood that she had that anointing inside of her. You see, it is not a matter of power of anointing, it's a matter of thinking, revelation, understanding. And so tonight I just want to talk a little bit about that anointing, how to cooperate. If you need healing tonight and hands are laid on you, what do you expect? What do you expect, and how will you cooperate with that anointing when hands are laid on you? You see, and that man, John G. Lake, because of what he knew and believed, you know, he's the guy that was in Washington, in Seattle, with the healing rooms in the 1900s. I don't exactly remember the date. But they saw so many healings, hospital emptied, that the state of Washington gave him a medical license. Hello. That city was the healthiest city in America. So I want to listen to what he has to say, don't you? And you know what he said? He said that anointing is in the spirit what electricity is in the natural realm. They operate under the same laws. So if you understand a few things about electricity, and I'm not an electrician, but if you understand a few of the laws that govern electricity, then you understand how that anointing works in the spirit. And you know what I discovered? That one of the reality of electricity, that it is always, always, always available. You know, 6,000 years ago, when God created everything, electricity was present. Did you know that? Because God created everything, but yet people lived in the dark. Why? Because though electricity is present, you cannot automatically discern it with your five senses. You know, it was not until Benjamin Franklin used a kite and played with it, that all of a sudden thunder hit that kite. And he realized and became aware that there was an unknown, unseen power in the atmosphere. And from that moment where they became aware of it, what did they try to do? To find a solution, find a way to channel, to transfer, to use that power. And Thomas Edison, that's what he did. Thousands of experiments on how to use and channel that unseen power. And then finally, after so many thousands of experiments, that he discovered something. That unseen power that was always available, always there, but though could not be seen or felt, and though present, had to be channeled, had and needed the right conductor. And what was the right conductor? They tried probably wood, they probably tried glass, they probably tried all kind of different matter, and they discovered finally that they needed to be copper to channel that power, that electricity. You didn't know you were going to get an electricity class tonight. But here is a truth we can learn, that in the same way, the anointing is always, always, always available. It's always available. I mean, you open the Word of God, that anointing is available. You meet somebody who is filled with the Holy Ghost, right there, that anointing is available. But yet, that anointing, though it is always available, it is not always seen and felt. And you see, most of the time the mistake is people, they see somebody all of a sudden shaking, or somebody falling, or somebody, you know, having some kind of a physical manifestation, they will say, "Ah, the power is finally here." No, the power was there all the time. It was available all the time. It just happened like just Benjamin Franklin, you just happened to see something. It's like the wind. You know, the wind, you don't see it, but you see the manifestation of it once in a while, you know, but it's always there. And so that anointing is always available to us, but we will not all the time feel or see anything. And just like electricity, you know, now think about it. You remember in Luke chapter 4 when Jesus went in the temple? I mean, wouldn't you agree that Jesus was the anointed one with the anointing? That's what the word Christ means. Jesus, the Son of God, was the anointing. He went into the synagogue in Nazareth. Don't you think he was the anointing? He walked there and he told them, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to open blind eyes, to set at liberty the captives, to free the oppressed." Now, did they in the synagogue see anything? Have a goosebumps? Anybody shook? Anybody fell? Did anybody have any kind of physical manifestation? No. The anointing was there, though they were not aware of it. Jesus was the anointing right there in their midst. But though they were not aware that that power to heal, to open blind eyes, to heal the broken heart, to set the captives free, that anointing was there. And though there was no manifestation physical that allowed them to see that, they didn't see anything, they didn't feel anything, but yet it was there. How do I know that? Because 5 minutes later, they are wanting to take the anointing and throw him off the cliff. Don't you think if they had known the anointing was there in their midst, don't you think they would have tried to kill it? And if Jesus, the anointed one, was there, and though there was no automatically any physical manifestation, and you understand what I mean by that, shaking, falling on, and we like that, and it's fine, it's okay. But there's a point I'm trying to make. If you don't see those manifestations, it does not mean that the anointing is not there. It's there all the time. We just don't see it. We just don't feel it. But it's there. And just like the electricity, that anointing needs the right conductor. And you know, because that anointing is available and is present, doesn't mean that everybody will automatically be healed. Because that's what we think. The anointing is here. Then automatically everybody will be healed. Not so, not so. You remember in Mark chapter 5, that little lady, I mean, here is Jesus in the crowd. Jesus is the anointed. The anointing. And he's walking in the street with that powerhouse anointing, yoke-breaking, burden-removing anointing, walking in the street. And here, people are pressing against him. touching him, rubbing against him, calling him. And in Mark 5, it said that the little woman with an issue of blood went and touched him. And Jesus stopped and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciple looked at him and said, "What do you mean? There are hundreds of people touching you." He said, no, there's been something different, for I felt power coming out of me. And there, that day there, that anointing was present, available, was right there, ready, willing, available to heal everybody. But how many people got healed? Yes, ma'am, you are right. One lady got healed, but yet the anointing was available to heal everybody. But why is it that that woman got healed? Because she had the right conductor. The right conductor that transferred that anointing, that drew the anointing, that channeled that anointing. And what was that right conductor? Yes, Jesus turned, and you notice he didn't say, "Woman, my power has made you well." Even though it is his power that healed her. But he said, "No, woman, your faith." Because it's her faith was just like copper is the right conductor. I mean, you put copper, that electricity will go through just like that. In the same way, if you find that right conductor of faith, that anointing will be transferred in or out. When I lay hands on the people, on the sick, my faith is at the moment I lay my hand, that anointing will go. And if that person has that expectancy, that faith, that little lady, and that understand, the moment my hands are laid on me, I'm going to draw that anointing. Hallelujah. That anointing is always available. But it doesn't mean that everybody will automatically be healed, because that anointing, though it's available, you see, the catch is that we don't always feel it, we don't always see it. And the temptation is to think it's not there, when in reality, it's always there, always available. But it's that faith, you see, that copper, that right conductor, that faith that says, "I might not feel it, I might not see it, but I know it's there. Because I know that pastor is filled with the Holy Ghost. So the moment he lays his hands on me, I'm going to draw that anointing that is in him." Oh, hallelujah. That anointing is right there for us. But then the question is, what happened? You know, and let me say something. Because so many times, you know, we can be a little human. That's polite for carnal. Where sometimes we try to judge the anointing by the cover. It would be like me being in a desert and being so thirsty, and somebody comes with me with a cup of water, and I look at them and I'm like, I haven't had a drop of water for 3 days, and they come with that cup, and that cup is in metal. And I'm like, "It's metal. I'm sorry, I only drink from glass container that I've been sterilized, and that's all what I drink from." Wouldn't that be ridiculous? I don't care about the container. I want what's inside. And when that is the reason why, listen to me, that is the reason why that when you go in some country where people are desperate. I mean, there is no social security, there is no health care, there is none of that. And people, it's either I'm gonna get healed by when they lay hands on me, or there is no plan B. They are of a desperation. It's like when I bring that container of water, they're like, "I don't care what it comes in, I just want it." But today, here's the problem. Oftentimes we look at the container, oh, it's a woman. Mm-mm. Oh, he doesn't wear a tie. Or it's too young, or it's too old, or his color skin is a little different, or whatever. We look at the container and try to perceive what's inside by the cover, when in reality we want and we need is what's inside. So when somebody lay hands on you, or when you lay hands on somebody, because you call to lay hands on the sick, know that it's what you've got inside or what's inside that person that you need and that you want and that you need to draw from. And you will draw with the right conductor, which is faith, knowing I might not see anything, I might not feel anything, but that's what I want. That's faith. And what happened, you see? And let me add something else. I talked about it yesterday, but I want to say it again. Because, you see, I want us to go beyond what we feel and what we see. We have, as sons and daughters of God, to learn to walk by faith and not by sight, which means not to be limited by what we feel and what we see, but by what we know, which is from the Word. And so many times, if somebody lay hands on you, and you know, like this morning, I laid hands on many people, and I felt an anointing coming out through my arms. I felt something, and I like when I feel the fire that goes from my belly and goes into the body of the person. I like that. Don't you? But when I don't feel that, it doesn't mean that nothing is happening. I just have to walk by faith. And like I was saying yesterday, it's when I felt nothing is when I had no goosebumps, no feeling, no fire, nothing, when I had to totally go beyond what I felt, that's when I saw the greatest miracle. You know why? Because that's when I had to walk by faith. When I lay hands on somebody and I feel the anointing, I like it, you know, but I'm not walking with as much faith. I'm just walking in obedience. But when I have to go beyond what I feel and I go and I don't feel, I'm walking in faith, and faith pleases God. Yeah. And I was sharing the story about I was in Africa, and I was in a church, and I had preached on the Holy Spirit. So I had, at the end of the message, given an invitation for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and almost the whole church came forward. So it took some time. I prayed, and at the end of the morning, you know, it was like 1 p.m., and I see a taxi, a blue taxi, right outside of the door. That man, that taxi was waiting for me. I mean, I had prayed for everybody. I had prayed for everybody, so I see my taxi, and I'm like, I'm tired. I'm hot. It is hot. If you've ever been to Africa, any African here? Was hot, humid. I had been going and going and preaching and preaching. I was tired, worn out. All I'm seeing is that taxi right there. And I'm thinking, all I want right now is go in the taxi, lay down, eat a bite, and just rest until my next preaching engagement. And so I'm heading out towards the door, you know, and all of a sudden, a lady puts her hand on me, on my arms, and stops me, and I'm looking at her. I'm like, yes, what's happening? She's like, rah. And she can't talk. So I'm like, what's happening? Well, through somebody else told me that lady cannot talk because she is totally deaf. She cannot hear. So she cannot talk. But she says she heard from somebody that there was a woman today in this church that would pray for the sick, and that's just why she came. She said she got up in the middle of the night. She took 3 buses to come right here this morning, and so she wants you to pray for her. Wouldn't that be ridiculous for me to say, well, I don't feel the anointing? Could she come back when I feel the anointing? Wouldn't that be ridiculous? I mean, right there, I knew she had faith. You know, you don't take 3 buses during the night and come and walk distance if you don't have faith. And so right there, I had to go beyond what I felt. Because let me say something, I felt like a zero. You're talking about not feeling spiritual? I didn't feel a bit spiritual. My feet are aching, my stomach is growling, my body is tired, my head is telling me, just go home, stop it. I mean, all my 5 senses are engaged, telling me it's not gonna work. But you know what I had to do? I had to go beyond that by faith. and said, you know, it's not dependent. That anointing is not dependent on how I feel, what I see. It's dependent on faith, what I know. And I knew that anointing is in me. It's permanent, it's resident, it's available, and it's willing to heal all. And I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel it. But I went, and I went to that lady, and tested her. Went behind her, asked her to repeat. She didn't hear anything. Then I put my finger in her ears, very simply, and I said, ears, I command you to open in the name of Jesus. Open up right now. Then I went back behind her, and I tested her. And she could hear. She said her ears popped. And she started to hear. And I said, Jesus, Jesus. And then I'm like from here. And I'm taking step. Jesus, Jesus. And I'm saying, and I'm at the other end of the church. And she can still hear me. What is the moral of the story? Is that anointing is always available. If you have been filled with the Holy Ghost like Jesus was at the Jordan River, it's right there in you. And you know, you don't even need for somebody to lay hands on you. You can just call that anointing and say, I command you, rise up and quicken my mortal body. Drive out any sickness. Drive out any disease. Drive out any cancer. Anointing, you are right there. And I believe that you're right there. And you see, when you call on that anointing that is in you, or when you lay hands on the sick, or when the sick lay hands on you, or when somebody lay hands on you, you've got to understand what is happening on the inside of you. I remember in 1999 when I was diagnosed with bone cancer. And I went to an oncologist in the Mayo Clinic. Well, to start with, my doctor did some tests on me, MRI, CAT scan. And they saw that tumor on the side, on the inside here. And then a spot on the back of my spine. And then they sent me to an oncologist. And the next day, the lady, she ran all kind of tests on me. The same MRI, CAT scan, bone scan. And they noticed something that in just a matter of a few days, the tumor had started to slightly shrink. Just a little bit. And right there, the doctor and I had prayed. I said, Lord, I know I'm healed. I know that anointing is in me. And it's working a healing in me, but I need a little more time so that it fully manifests. That was my prayer. When I went to that oncologist, she said, I just noticed that your tumor had shrunk just a little bit. She said, so I'm going to give you two options. Door number one, we do treatment. We do, all kind of stuff on you, treatment. Or door number two, we put you under observation. It means you come back in 3 months. We'll run the same kind of test. So I say, door number two. But here is something I've learned. I love it. In Matthew 21, verse 19. Matthew 21, verse 19, when Jesus cursed the fig tree. Well, actually, he didn't curse. He just spoke to it. And he said, you shall never bear any fruit anymore. And the Bible says immediately the fig tree withered away. It gives us the impression that Jesus spoke and ta-da-da, immediately it dried. But when you read the same story in Mark chapter 11, we discovered something, another detail that Mark brings to the picture. He said that Jesus spoke to the fig tree, the disciples heard him, and then all left to go to Jerusalem. That's where Jesus went to the temple, cleansed the temple, spent the night in the vicinity, and the verse 20 says, the next day. In the next day, they walked on the same path. And there, Peter said, Master, look. The fig tree which you have cursed is withered away from the roots. And you're like, Audrey, isn't there a contradiction there? No, because when you put the two stories together, what you come up with is that when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, Immediately it withered away from the root. And it took 24 hours for that dying that started from the roots to appear on the outside. So it's like cutting a bouquet of roses. You cut a bouquet of roses, put it in the vase. It looked nice. It looks perfect. It looks green and colorful, but you wait a few days. They're dead. When did it start? The moment you cut it. So the moment you lay hands on somebody, or somebody lay hands on you, you might not see anything, feel anything on the naked eye, but you must know that immediately, as soon as with your faith you receive that anointing, or you transfer that anointing, immediately that anointing will go to the root of the sickness where it started. It will go and attack it, and it will start a reversal. You see, just like sickness go from worse to worse to worse to worse, then that anointing will attack the sickness at its very root and start a process of mending and healing and curing, and it go from better to better to better. Yes. And so that's what happened to me. When I was diagnosed with bone cancer and I was put under observation, I understood that anointing. So you see, I didn't need to feel anything or to see anything. I knew, I understand by faith that anointing. You see, I spoke to that anointing. I laid hands on my own body. I spoke to my own body and I commanded to be healed. You see, I didn't even have anybody lay hands on me, because I knew that anointing was right there inside. And I put a demand on that anointing in me. And I knew that that anointing was working something inside. And this is what happened. When in a period of 9 months, that doctor, that oncologist put me under observation, the tumor started to shrink. 3 months later, a smaller. 2 months later, a little smaller. 2 months later, a little smaller. 2 months later, it was gone. Amen. And that has been 20 years ago. But you see, I had by faith to cooperate with that anointing. And I love it. You see, one of the things that the Holy Ghost, now I understand, this is what the Holy Ghost told me. Don't you try to just imitate what Holy Spirit told me, because he told me, he didn't tell you. So you go to the Holy Spirit and ask him, what will you have me do? Well, one thing that the Holy Ghost told me, say, don't tell anybody you have cancer, but only 5 people that believe like you do. And don't tell them to pray for you, just tell them to celebrate and thank God for your healing, because I knew I had received it. And you know why the Holy Ghost did that? To protect me from myself. Because people didn't know what was going on, so nobody was tempted to ask me how I felt. Nobody was tempted to ask me how I was doing. So I didn't talk about it to anybody. Nobody knew. Just people that lived, you know, in a different city. So every day when I felt strong, hallelujah. But there were days where I felt weak and vulnerable. And Jesus said, you know, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is sometimes weak. And that's when the enemy comes in your moment of weakness to make you fall. That's what happened to Zechariah in the temple when angel Gabriel saw him and said, at this time next year, your wife will be pregnant. And he said, that's not possible. We're too old. And you know what God had to do? He had to shut his mouth. That was not an act of anger. God, it was an act of mercy, because God says, that's a faithful man. I love that man, and I want to do a miracle in his life. But in order to have that miracle, I'm going to have to shut his mouth. In another word, that's what the Holy Ghost did with me. He said, Audrey, don't tell anybody. Zip the lip. You see, that's how the Holy Ghost, we've got to walk with the Holy Ghost, listen to the Holy Ghost, do and what he tells us to do. But you see, by faith, we understand that that anointing is working and you put it to work. You can either accelerate the healing process that is happening in you with what you say, yeah, or you can stop it and slow it down. That's what Holy Ghost was telling me, don't tell anybody. Because in a moment of weakness, you'll be tempted to say, well, I don't feel too good today. Or whatever I could have said, but I didn't. You understand? And I always remember, and I'll close with that, there was a precious lady. I didn't pray for her. Pastor Trey, you probably have heard that testimony. It was a man of God. I went to his college, grew under him. But he shared that he had prayed for a precious lady who had a black tumor on her face. And he laid hands on her and he told her, he said, "Sister, as when I lay my hands on you, by faith an anointing will go in your body and will attack that tumor. And you have to let that anointing do its work." And he said, "Every time you think you, I mean, how can you miss it? You look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, that thing is staring you in the face." He said, "Every time you look at it, every time you think about it, every time, you know, you just repeat and you said, such and such a day, at such and such a time, hands were laid on me and I received a healing anointing, and that anointing is working in me, healing and a cure. So I thank you for that healing in Jesus' name." So that precious lady, I mean, every time she saw it, every time she thought about it, that's what she remembered. And she declared that that anointing she had received was doing a work in her. She did that day number one, day number two. On day number 10, it's that tumor is still there on her face. The temptation would have been to say, "Nothing is working. That stuff, that face stuff is just garbage. It's not working." No, no. She kept at it because she's like, "I receive, it's working. I don't feel anything, don't see it, but I know it's working." On day number 10, she's on the floor, mopping the floor, and all of a sudden, poof, something falls on the ground. She picks it up, goes to the bathroom, and notice her face was like the face of a baby. Because she understood that simple truth, that that anointing is available, it's powerful, it's doing a work, though we might not feel or see anything. But if we learn to cooperate with that healing anointing by what we say, by what we think about, by what we do. And you know, while I was there 9 months, you know what I did? The doctor was telling me, "Audrey, your bones are very fragile, so don't jump, don't run, don't exert yourself, don't do anything that would compromise your bones." You know what I did? I ran, I jumped, I carried boxes, I moved homes, we sold our homes, we had to move our homes 5 times. In 1 year, I pushed furniture, carried boxes, did everything, because I knew that I had received that healing anointing. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that was, and so tonight, I'd like to ask you if there is anybody here that needs healing. Hallelujah. And you know that you are coming here not to try to see if something works, but you know there by faith, knowing and understanding that when you come here, it is to receive a transfer and of anointing that will go in your body to heal your body, to destroy the sickness from the root. And you are willing to say, "The moment hands are laid on me, I'm going to receive that healing anointing and I'm going to cooperate with it and that have that anointing work in my body until I have the full manifestation." So if it is you, I want you to come here forward. Thank you, Pastor.